Let's take our Bible this morning and go over the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3. And I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Boy, we've just been, I feel like that whack-a-mole. We're just up and down, ain't we? Amen. From singing and going to make you stand for the reading of God's Word. But we'll give you time to sit down and rest. I always said one time I'm going to make y'all stand or ask you to stand up. And I'm going to sit in a chair and preach. You know, Jesus said, and I ain't him by no means. But he got out there in that ship and he sat down and talked while the people stood on the seashore over there. And so they stood the whole time while the Lord taught there. But I'll let you sit down here in a minute. Let's read Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And are you happy to be here? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house today. Amen. It is a joy. And I always get to come and just be with him. And I'm glad. I don't know if he done anything for you in the singing, but he's helped me today. I don't know about you, but he's helped me. It may be a little cloudy outside, but thank God it can be sunny in our heart today. Amen. Thank God for that today. All right, Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Man, that's just a horrible verse, ain't it? I mean, that would be a horrible way to live, wouldn't it? I mean, the Apostle Paul said, look, I was not only foolish and disobedient of what God wanted. He said, I was deceived in what I was doing. We understand he was a religious man. But he said, then I was serving divers lusts, many and plenty of them, and pleasures of this world. And he said, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Boy, we got a world full of them today, don't we? I mean, people are just hateful. They're living in envy. I mean, if they want what you got, and they don't want you to have what you have, and they envy what you have. But not only that is there envying and going on, but then he says, living in the pleasures of this world, but living in malice. And envy. You know, malice is where you want to hurt somebody really for no reason. I mean, we really shouldn't have a reason to want to hurt somebody, but even malice, you know, he said when it comes to malice, be his children. When it comes to understanding, be his men, you know. And you know, why does he say be his children in malice? Because children can get mad and 30 seconds later, they'll be playing with each other again. And so he said, but we're in envy and we're hateful and hating one another. I read that verse and I think, man, what a horrible life to have. But then in verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Titus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to win her. But bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. You be seated today. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've allowed us to have. And we thank you for these dear folk that have come. We want them to receive a blessing from the service today. But if there's one lost, I pray you might save them. We know that you want to save them and that you will save them. But Lord, if they'll move and trust you, we know that you'll do your part. We just had to do ours. And Lord, we thank you that all we had to do is come and trust and ask you to save, and you'd do your part, and we thank you for that. Lord, as we now preach, I pray that you'd anoint us afresh and touch us from heaven and just give us some strength out of the Word of God today. Open our eyes and enlighten us with the Word of God, and not only by the hearing of our ears, but Lord, by the hearing of the heart today. And we'll tell you in it, we love you and thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the singing that's already been done. Lord, we pray that folk got stirred in our heart for the songs that we sung today. And Lord, we'll tell you in it, we love you. Meet with us now. Help us while we preach. Might folk get understanding from the Word of God. Give instruction and direction. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I read this third chapter of the book of Titus, there's only three chapters to it. And Titus, if we look by history, he was the first pastor and after the church of the Christians, I believe it was. And as Paul was writing to him, in this chapter, he begins to lay out to him. He starts, as we'd already read, about how to be a good citizen and how to be a good neighbor, how to just simply be a good Christian in verses 1 and 2. And then he talks about the life that he had and the life that others have in verse 3. And I've already expounded upon that as I read it. And as we look in verses 4 through 7, he talks about what we have in Christ. He talked about the kindness and the love of God. And wasn't God kind when he come to you? Because, listen, nothing that you'd ever done deserved the love of God. Nothing that I do now deserves the love of God. But thank God, because of Christ Jesus, the Lord, and in his kindness and in his mercy, he said in verse 5, not of works of righteousness, which we have done. You can't do anything to get saved today. You can't do anything worthy of salvation for Christ Jesus to save you and keep you. Simply by putting your faith and trust in Christ Jesus is the only way to get saved today. He said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. I thank God for that. You know, mercy is not getting what we deserve. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment. But mercy holds off hell and judgment. Why, grace presents and that the goodness and the gracious things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, he washed us and made us clean and renewed us, and that in the Holy Spirit and that of God. And he said, which is shed on us. Well, I like that word shed. Amen. I mean, that means not only rolled off onto us or gave to us, but there was something shed for us, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He said, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Well, because of his mercy and his grace, we have what he wants us to have. He said that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Notice our justification comes in grace. But then in verses 8 through 11, we find that he begins to lay out our instruction for our Christian life. And even in the latter part of the chapter, and he gives some instruction in that to Titus, who to bring with him and what to do as he comes. But he uses one word in here twice in this passage of Scripture. If you look in verse 8, he said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now look with me in verse 14, and the Bible said, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may not be, or that they be not unfruitful. And if I could preach for just a little while this morning, I want to preach having a thought on maintaining our Christian life. Maintaining, that's where we get our word, the word maintain, and then the word maintenance comes out of that. The word maintain simply means to hold or to preserve or keep in any particular state or condition. I've been a maintenance man for years. When I worked a public job, I was always working some form of maintenance, if you let me say that. Pastor full-time, still do a little bit of maintenance. Brother Jeff is a maintenance man over at Denso. And I mean, some of you all are maintenance. That means that we keep on fixing or keeping in repair, if you let me say that, what needs to be done. You don't have to be a maintenance man or a maintenance woman to understand those things. There's a lot of things that require maintenance, don't they? I mean, your home, if you live in a home, it requires maintenance, don't it? I mean, you got to keep it up. You got to stay after it. Your yard requires maintenance, don't it? I mean, if you don't mow it and take care of it and weed eat it or seed it or water it when it needs watering, you've got to take care of all those things. You know, maintenance means to support something or to sustain something or not to suffer it to fall into decline. You know, this church house has it requires maintenance every now and again, don't it? We got to change the light bulbs when they blow. We'll go out here and wash the siding. The yard gets mowed. If something needs to be taken, you know what? Miss Sarah or whoever else helps. Listen, when the carpet gets dirty, you got to clean the carpet, vacuum the carpet. It's got to be maintained, don't it? Or it begins to fall in disrepair. How many of us has ever seen an old house fall in disrepair? I think we all have at one time or another. We've seen a house where somebody is not living in it anymore. Maybe they are living in it, but it falls into disrepair. Why? Because there has been no maintenance on it. Do you know that our health requires maintenance? Our health requires maintenance. You got to work at it to stay healthy, don't you? I mean, I do. I mean, listen, I got my own. I like to eat. Do you know that I like to eat? Some people, you know, I heard of one preacher one time, him and two preachers were standing in a hotel together there. They was preaching meeting, and one of them went over and sat down on the bed that night, and he says, "Man, I forgot." And that other preacher looked at him, he said, "What do you mean you forgot?" "Forgot what?" He said, "I forgot to eat today." How do you forget to eat? "Man, I get up in the morning, I want to eat. I go to bed at night, I'm still hungry." Amen. My maintenance is the very fact is I have to be careful of what I eat and how much of what I eat. You know, they used to tell me that stuff when I was younger. You know, you go to the doctor, somebody tell you, you need to be careful, you need to watch that, you're going to pay for that stuff later. And you know what I come to find out? That's true. That's true. You know, the Bible says that your moderation be known to all men. You know, that's the same way, even with our eating, you know. Need to be moderate. And I tell this story. So after I had part of my colon took out, you know, the doctor, you know, and at that time I couldn't eat a whole lot. And I lost a whole lot of weight at that point. And by the time he took that thing out, and man, I was just down to eating chicken and baked potatoes. And I love chicken. Y'all know I do, but I was getting tired of it at that point. And by the time they cut all that out, and I met with a doctor after it was said and done, and he says, "You can go back and have you a hamburger, and you can eat whatever you want, just eat it in moderation." I just didn't hear the part about moderation. But we have to maintain things. It means to keep up or to support. Do you know that your relationship has to have maintenance done on it every now and again, don't it? Me and my wife, we work at our relationship. Amen. Well, we live together and we talk with each other and we just spend time together. You know, if you don't spend time with somebody, the relationship kind of grows apart, don't it? Right? Some of you all had friends in the past that you don't have now simply because that relationship didn't have work done on it. Follow what I'm saying? Can I tell you that our Christian life is no different? Your Christian life and my Christian life requires maintenance on it to be pleasing unto the Lord. Notice right here twice the Apostle Paul said this. He said that what? He said that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. He said that they would learn to maintain good works. So I want to look at maintaining our Christian life. Three things this morning, we'll go to the house. Number one, first of all, the importance of maintaining. Notice what he said in verse 8. He said, affirm constantly. He said, affirm this constantly. You know, sometimes when I preach, I feel or I sound like a broken record because I feel like I'm telling all of us the same thing over and over again. You know what the Apostle Paul told Titus? He said, I want you to affirm this constantly. First of all, the word affirm means, listen, that it is right. It is the truth. You affirm that thing. And then you do it constantly. And you tell them that it is important to maintain good works. It's good for them to do that thing. In verse 8, he said what? He said not only that they would affirm it constantly, but what that those that believed in God, be careful. To be careful to do this, to be watchful, or to take heed that they do these things. Hey, listen, it is important for me and you to understand that our Christian life takes work. Would you agree with that this morning? I mean, listen, am I the only one that gets up in the morning and got problems in the flesh? I don't think so. You know, that's why we have to work on it. Do you realize that? That's why we have to work on our Christian life, is because we're dealing with the flesh. I mean, if we weren't dealing with the flesh, listen, the inner man's perfect. That man that's on the inside, listen, he is perfect in Christ Jesus the Lord, but he's trying to work on the outer man. I mean, we're still growing. I'll get there here in just a little bit. I understand we're not perfect, but we need to work at it. He said, affirm this constantly, but be careful. I'm talking about the importance of it right now, to take heed, to be cautious in this situation. He said, let ours, in verse 14, let ours also learn. It's a learning process to grow in Christ. You know, Peter said, let us grow in grace and knowledge. You know, I preach a message out of that, to grow in grace and knowledge. You've got to have both of them or you're going to be fouled up. If you grow in grace, all you're going to have is liberalism. And if all you grow in is knowledge, then you're going to have legalism. You've got to have both of them to balance that thing out. Took me forever to learn that. It did. I mean, I'm just being honest. It's easier for me to live in legalism than it is to grow in grace sometimes. I mean, I'm independent Baptist, man, as far as we can go. But I've learned one thing. If you're going to be miserable if you don't have both of them. You've got to have grace and knowledge. I learned that a long time ago. It took a long time, but I learned it finally. I hope I've learned it. And sometimes that old man will rire up on us. But notice he said that it is important that we do this. He said, let ours learn this. I'm talking about the importance of maintaining things. I worked years ago. I subcontracted in and out of a facility up there in Sweetwater. And I went in to do some fabrication work, some electrical work. And then they got to letting me work on some machines along the way. But this company had a great preventive maintenance program. You know, most maintenance programs in facilities, if you've been around any at all, you work maintenance, don't you, Brother Randy? He does maintenance too. I forgot that. Most of it is reactive. Would you not say? Most maintenance is reactive. In other words, when it breaks, you've been around that, Brother Jeff. When it breaks, you fix it. You know what Paul's trying to get us to do right here? To maintain something. He's trying to get us to the point to where we maintain it, that it don't break, to where we got to fix it then. I went into that facility up in Sweetwater. They had a great preventive maintenance program. I remember the first time I went up there and helped them work on that thing. They scheduled it. They shut the whole line down. And for a whole 8-hour shift, they ran preventive maintenance on that line. You know what they told me why they do that? They would rather tell that line when it's going to shut down as to have that line tell them when they were going to shut down. Now, every one of us in here kind of grasps that. And if you've run any business or been around that at all, Brother Tom, you've done it for years. I mean, you understand that. The more I keep looking around, I see people, it's just work maintenance in here. So we have a grasp of that. You know what? You know what Paul was trying to get Titus to tell, and what the Lord wants us to understand? That if we'll work on things that need to be worked on, that'll keep it from hurting us and keep us from having to do extra work that we don't normally should have to do. Are you following this morning? All right. Just making sure we're getting somewhere, because we're on the importance, man, I keep putting that extra syllable in there, the importance of working on this thing. It's like working on your lawnmower. Men, it's like working on your lawnmower. I hate working on my lawnmower. I mean, I kind of enjoy it, but by the time I have to jerk the deck out from under it, pull the blades off of it and sharpen it and put it all back on just to go out there and beat the blades back up again, it almost seems not worth it sometimes. But you know, if if I never sharpened them blades, if I never greased them up, if I never greased the spindles up and all that stuff, then I would just be out there. And I've actually mowed with dull blades, and all you're doing is knocking the grass down. You're not cutting it. And if we don't work on maintenance in our life, in our Christian life, then that's kind of how we're going to be. We're going to become useless if we ain't careful. Paul talks about one that beateth the air. You know, you've got to work on getting things in your life that don't belong in there out. I thought about this. This is our responsibility. He said, let ours also learn. It's our responsibility. I can't, you know, let me say this. If I don't even change my own oil in my own car no more. I pay to have that done. But it's still my responsibility to see that it gets done. And I have to pay to get it done one way or another. I mean, I'm either going to pay and go do it, or I'm going to pay and let somebody else do it. But nonetheless, the maintenance is my responsibility. It's like we can't expect somebody else to fix what's going on in our life. We can't expect somebody else to strengthen us and help us along this way until we take the initiative to do it ourselves. I can't expect my wife to work on our relationship, and not that there's anything wrong. I don't think there is. I hope there's not. But I do want to just love her more. That's one of the prayers. I say, Lord, just help me love my wife more and more every day. That's the way I pray. I just talk to the Lord plain. I say, just help me love her more and more every day. But I could not expect her to work on her part of our relationship if I'm not willing to myself. God's willing to help you when you're willing to want to get help. God's willing to help when we have and see the importance of maintaining our relationship and our Christianity in Him. I hope I'm making sense this morning. The lack of maintenance when we don't see the importance of, and I'm going to get what we need to do just here in a minute. I want you to see that it's important to do these things. The lack of maintenance will make things fall into disrepair. Whether it is preventative or whether it is reactive. That knee jerk, whether you do one or the other, if you don't do it at all, then it's no good. I remember years ago, me and Brother Jeff worked at the same facility. He ran the machine shop, and I would go in and do maintenance there. Do you remember working on that bar feeder, brother? I hated that thing. That thing, if you got it running good, it would run all day and all night. But buddy, if she ever hicked up, it's going to be a mess. But I remember one day we worked on that thing, and I left, had to come to church on Wednesday night, and Brother Jeff stayed with it and finally got it running. And he said, I finally got a hold of somebody that says, you need to push this button right here. And if you'll push that button, it'll fix it. You know what it done? He pushed the button. It fixed it. Sometimes you got to figure out what needs to happen. That comes to my second part. There's not only an importance of doing it, but then there is the implementation of doing it. You've got to put it into action. Me and Jeff could have stood around and talked all night long about why this thing wouldn't run right, or why it won't work, or we don't know how to fix it. Boy, we didn't know how to fix it. We tried everything we know to do. Called a boy over in North Carolina, and they said, well, do this, this, and this, and we done this, this, and this. Still didn't work. They said, you need to call the people in California. Called the people in California, push one button. Who would have thought people out in California would have known what to do? Amen. You remember that, brother? That was a mess, wasn't it? Amen. They finally wised up and got rid of that bar feeder. Amen. But you need a maintenance program. I need a maintenance program. Paul said right here to Titus, he said, look, you constantly affirm constantly that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good work. He's talking about our Christian life. He said, look, he said not only to constantly affirm that, but he said, let them learn to do this. there must be an implementation of that, because me and you are not perfect. We have not attained. What did I get to last Sunday? In the book of Philippians, Paul said, not as though I have already attained. That means to have arrived or to have captured. Either we're already perfect. So he explains himself. You say, you just said a few minutes ago, we're perfect in Christ. I'm talking about the flesh. He said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, look, I'm always working and running to go forward, reaching for that prize. I'm working on myself to get there. We have a tendency to want to work on everybody else but us. I mean, I'm guilty of that. I'll be honest with you. I want to fix everybody else's problems, but not my problems. And he says right here, he says, we need to maintain these things. And he says, look, he says, I'm going to press forward. I'm going to get toward the prize. He said, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Maintenance requires work. In our prayer time. You may have a great prayer time. I hope you do. That will help you maintain your works in Christ Jesus. Your Bible reading. You need to read your Bible. I do too. You need to read your Bible every day. Now, listen, I understand there's times, and I'm not giving you an excuse. I'm not giving you a way to get out of it. But, you know, and the Lord understands this. There's sometimes that you run from the time that your feet hit the floor to the time that you crawl into bed of the nighttime. But you know, I guarantee you, you're probably going to stop and eat somewhere in the day. I would advise us, me and you both, that if we're having that kind of a day while you're eating, why don't you just feed your soul on the Spirit of the things of God? I taught the young adult Sunday school class, and you can ask them all. We just wrote it down on the whiteboard downstairs. We laid out how long they worked, how long it took to get to work. Chores that you had to do when you come in. You remember, you got to maintain your house. Got to mow your yard. Got things that's got to do at home. You write all that down and you begin to divide it up. You got to put sleep in there somewhere. We got to make time to spend with the Lord. Time for prayer time. Time for daily Bible reading. Church attendance. To be witnessing. I'm talking about working on things. Some of these is easier than others. You come this morning, church attendance. Let me ask you this. How many of you had a tough time? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you had a tough time? You're already an hour short. Man, I've got a whole nother hour to go according to that clock. Jacob's going to be real quick right here in just a second. He'll be changing that thing. Talking about what needs to be worked on. How about our witnessing? Does it need to be worked on? Mine does. Not that my life don't portray Christ, but going out and trying to win others. Talking about we need to maintain our witnessing. We need to maintain our testimony. You say, well, I don't want people to think that I'm better than that. I'm talking about maintaining your life in Christ and just living right before people and having good and right standards and having good and right convictions. There's nothing wrong with that. How about doing good works? He said that we maintain good works. Down in verse 14, he said that we maintain good works. How about our works? Are our works good? We ought to have good works. Listen, I'm not trying to beat up on you. I don't think you got bad works. I hope not. I just want to do good and do right, don't you? You know what it boils down to when it comes to the implementation of just a maintenance program? It comes down to reading your Bible, praying, and living for God and staying separated out of this world. That's what it boils down to. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We just got to work on us. We just need an attitude that is toward, that is good toward the things of God. Maintenance, as we work on us and maintain these things, do you know that it will begin to change us? It'll change you. The more you grow in Christ Jesus, you know what he said in 1 Peter 2 and 2? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know, the more you read your Bible, the more it will change you to be more like him. It will. It'll change us for the good. You say, well, I like who I am. I like, well, some days I like me. Some days I don't care for me. I don't know what it is. There's just come a time that I've realized that my biggest problem is not you, and it's not this world. It's me. I'm probably my biggest problem. And then I've got an adversary that's working on me on top of that. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, what about seeking whom he may devour. And he's out to get you. Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We are to grow. We are to maintain. That means to support. You know, when we start doing right, when we start doing good, and we're doing it according to the will of God and to His Word, listen, when we do those things, when we know we're right in the Script, listen, just keep doing what you know is right to do. That's what He's saying. I believe I'm making it harder than what it needs to be. We just need to just keep doing right and doing good. Maintain that. If you're on the right path, maintain it. If you're not, then stop. Get on the right path. Maintain it. There's importance to it. There's the implementation of it. We have to do it. We have to put forth the effort to do it. We have to read our Bible. We have to pray. We have to go witnessing. We have to come to church. Or we get to come to church. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. A lot of people look at it, we have to go to church. We get to come. That's what it is. We grow and we learn. Number three. Then there is an increase from maintaining. Before, listen. Take your Bible and go to the book of the Revelation. Before I get into the increase here. Take your Bible and go to the book of the Revelation chapter 3. I believe it's chapter 3. Let me see if I can find what I'm looking for. Go over to chapter 3 and look in verse 7. The church at Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. So we see the strength of the Lord. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now I want you to notice what he said about the church here at Philadelphia. He said one thing right here. They were doing exactly what God wanted them to do. But he said a lot about them. But he says one thing here. He says, for thou hast a little strength. He said, you've got a little strength in what you're doing. And just do what you're doing. Just, you've got a little strength, and you know. And another point, he tells another church. He said, "Those things which are about to die." He said, "Strengthen those things. You got to work at it. We may have a little strength, but you know what we do? We just keep working at it. We just keep working at it. Your Christian life is something that you must work at. I feel like I'm just a record broke, but we got to work at it. Number three, the increase from maintaining. Notice what he said right here. Go back to the text scripture. He said three things about the increase of this. In the last part of verse 8, he said, these things are good and profitable unto men. You go to verse 4, he said that they be not unfruitful. So if we maintain our Christian life, one, that is good. Don't you just want to be good? Do good, think good, act good, just be good. He said it's good for you to maintain your Christian life. It's just good. It's not bad. A lot of people think it's bad. It's just good. But then he says it is profitable for you to do that. That is useful. It's bringing gain to you. It is not only good, but it's profitable. In other words, there's gain to be involved. One, I believe as we maintain our Christian life, I believe the Lord blesses us. I do. I believe He blesses us, whether it is physically, spiritually, however you want to look at it. I believe that it is profitable for me and you to maintain our Christian life. I believe it's profitable for us to read our Bible. I believe it's profitable to pray. I believe it's profitable and that for us to witness. I believe it's profitable to stay separated from the world. I believe it's profitable to come to church. I believe it's profitable. I believe it's good. It's useful and it brings us gain. And then he said it is fruitful. Fruitful means to be productive, to have plenty. The more we serve, the more we maintain, the more we do what God wants us to do and work on us, the more fruitful we ought to be. Hey, he said in the book of Colossians, he said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, to please Him. And then he said being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We ought to be those things and do those things. If we will maintain, then it will be fruitful. It's just like those machines that I have worked on over the years, or that the vehicle that you drive. If you maintain it and you keep it in working order, then it's going to be fruitful. It'll be productive to you. It'll get you from point A to point B. This is all elementary, but it's honest today. And it is no different in our Christian life. If we will work on us and make us line up with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, it's fruitful and it's profitable for us to be that way. It's good for us to do that. But it takes work. When you maintain something, it takes work. Grass season is just about starting. Brother Marvin shook his head. It takes work. You get done mowing your yard and weed eating your yard and spraying and killing all the weeds, and you weed your flower garden and you get all that done and you look out over, and I love to mow the yard and then stop and stand on the front porch and look at my yard and look out over it, and it looks so good. And if I had to do that once a year, that would be even better. But you know what? Next week, I got to do the same thing over again. And next week, I got to do the same thing over again. Next week, I got to do the same thing over again. You know, our Christian life is really no different. We just have to maintain our Christian life in Him. It just takes work. I'll ask you to bow your head today.